Well, good morning and welcome. Welcome again to Lancaster Baptist Church, our online service this morning. I'd like to start our time of worship as we continue to reflect on Psalm 23, the dark valleys. But I'd like to start with Psalm 27, in fact, that reminds us of one thing I will ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Well, those of you who watch this broadcast at home on the Facebook, YouTube channel, you will know, probably you have heard that last week we met for the first time on a Sunday morning. We had a gathering where for half an hour we're reflecting on who Christ is. We look at the seven I am sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And I would like to also say apologies for those of you at home who have not been able to join us for that live service because of the difficulties that we had with the technology. It's been the first time for us trying that, and we have not got it quite there. We are not quite there with it. And I do apologize on behalf of LBC and all of us personally for not being quite ready to have that technology ready. And we beg for your patience with us as we learn to adapt to this new normal, and especially when it comes to the new technology that we're using, broadcasting live to you. And so we are back this Sunday for this worship online. CDs also are available, thanks to Kevin and the team, AV team there, who work hard to make sure that you hear those messages. You are part of the services in one way or another. And it was good to be together last Sunday. It was such a blessing, about 30-something of us in the church building there, to worship. Although restricted, the service has been meaningful. Our time together with the Lord has been very, very meaningful. And it was lovely to be together, although restricted, as I said, in terms of worshipping externally. But inside, we were blessed by the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And I'm sure the Lord will bless you now as we watch this service, as we engage with him in the place where you are, where you listen to his word, where you sing in your own home the songs that we will be display in our service this morning here. Worship that is in spirit and in truth, not necessarily in church building, but in home and in our hearts. Worship indeed that is restricted, but yet open flow because of God's Spirit that lives within us. Let me pray for the service and then we'll listen to a few songs. I'm sharing with you in this message again, the fifth, in fact, of God's incredible promises that he has for us from Psalm 23. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We ask that through your Holy Spirit you will bless us. You will come and visit us again through your Spirit. You will heal. You will bring comfort. And Father, indeed, as we are in the valley of the shadow of death just now, as a nation, as the world, as we as individuals might find ourselves in these valleys, we pray for your presence to guide us, to comfort us, and through your Holy Spirit to bring healing into our lives in whatever we do this morning, listening to songs, to the message, participating in this and praying together. We ask that you will bring reassurance that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. Your staff and your rod, they comfort us. And we thank you for being our God. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Fill you with all joy and peace Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 39. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will."
Thank you.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Welcome back to our service again this morning to the message in the part 5 of the series on the Psalm 23. As I said to you before, this is a psalm of comfort, is a psalm of guidance, is a psalm of reassurance, and I want you to draw some reassurances from God's word in this time that we go through with Corona, especially as this week we've heard again the new rules, regulations, and the almost mini lockdown that our country will have to obey and go through, as our Prime Minister announced it. We have this psalm in front of us as we reflect on it, as we read it together in God's word here. And as I journey with you, I said that this is a psalm where God's word comes as a reassurance, a promise of reassurance. In verse 1, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." He promises that. Then it's a promise of, in the midst of tribulation, of rest. He makes me lie down in green pasture, says verse 2. It is He who has given us a time to reflect of who He is, of His mission, of His ministry among us, of His Holy Spirit's working, of where the world is going, of our relationships. He makes us lie down. But most importantly, comes also a promise of restoration. So not only of reassurance and rest, but restoration, while we are reassured and where we rested in the Lord, that He will restore our souls. He comes to help us reflect on our lives and to gain even more intimacy with Him in our walk with Christ day by day. And so also comes of guidance. We talked about it last week in church when we met, that the Lord guide us in paths of righteousness for His own sake. There are paths that are right for us because He is a righteous God. There are paths that are not to destroy us, but to enhance our lives, and that we may live abundantly as such. And today we walk through one of the most difficult, yet I find it the most powerful, reassuring words of God in His word. Comes from the Psalm 23 of verse 4. Even though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your staff, your rod, they comfort me. Even though I walk, what an incredible reassurance, incredible, powerful guidance that comes with a promise of comfort. We're going through a very difficult time. We go into some of the most difficult times that the world probably has ever seen, for generations has ever seen. This coronavirus is a big, deep valley of the shadow of death that not only we go through as people personally, but nations and indeed the whole world goes through. We have never probably seen such a huge pandemic in all our lives, generation after generations. And those of you who know Psalm 23, you know it's a very familiar psalm. If you walk through a churchyard, you read them on gravestones. Those who know nothing at all about the Bible, they know this verse very well from Psalm 23, even if they don't know the whole psalm. They know this verse, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." It's a very popular, very well-known verse. We live in a midst of a very difficult circumstances. Life is a difficult environment to live is a mixture of pain and pleasure. Life is a mixture of victory and defeat, is a mixture of failure and success, is a mixture of mountain tops and down dark valleys that we go through. And even in our dark valleys, our darkest days, God's promise from this psalm says that He is there with us to comfort us, to walk with us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In Israel, there is this valley of the shadow of death. It's steep, it's deep and narrow, very, very narrow. The sun only hits the bottom of this valley when it's directly above it at about 12 noon, between 12 and 1 afternoon. The rest of the time, the bottom of the valley is dark and it's full of shadows because of the angle of the sun that moves over it from left to right. It's full of shadows in there. And David probably, I would imagine, he led when he was a young shepherd or when he was running from King Saul, he led his sheep through this valley. And he knew how deep it was, how dark it was, how fearful it was, how those shadows interact and make it look even bigger, how fearful the whole experience for him was there. And he writes this word from his own experience of those dark valleys. He also had dark valleys, shadows, in the very pertinent and real sense when he ran away from Saul, when he sinned and upset God and the people around him. He walked through very dark valleys. He experienced that dark valley when he lost his firstborn son that was given to him after the sin with Bathsheba. Bathsheba gave birth to that son, and of course, he was taken away from them. Joshua and many other people in the scripture talk about dark valleys, but Joshua especially talks about the valley of calamity. Psalm 84 talks about the valley of weeping. Baraka. Hosea talks about the valley of trouble. We are surrounded by valleys. We go through valleys in our lives. Is the word in Hebrew, the valley of the shadow of death, is actually translated the valley of deep, deep, deep darkness. That's how it feels. That's how it looks and is portrayed to us, not only in the scripture, but it's when we go through the dark valley, it feels a very dark place to go through. So how do I handle those valleys of life? Now, I want to be quite brief on this message. I'll try to. But before I do that, let me share with you some aspects of these valleys of the shadow of death, of this very dark, what it seems very dark valleys. Valleys that you might be going through just now. And I'm really sorry if you do. Struggling with whether it's the corona, whether it's with other aspects of your life, domestic, relationally, financially. I pray that the Lord will be with you and guide you and comfort you if you go through a valley just now. He is real and He will help you. Cry out to Him from the bottom of your heart. Shout out to this shepherd, to this Lord that is up there and will see you through, will help you through. Shout out to Him. So let me bring some aspects of these valleys of the shadow before I share how we're going to deal with them. Valleys are really unavoidable. They are going to happen. Whether we want it or not, they are going to happen. Whether we want to go through them, I can guarantee you that if you're not in a valley now, you will be going through one very, very soon or sometime in your life. Or probably you've been through one and you know how it is. In John 16, God gives us another promise of reassurance. In Jesus' words, He says, in the world, you will have trouble. It is there. You will come. Don't try and avoid it. Those valleys will come. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. It is going to happen. You are going to have difficulties, disappointment, disillusionment in your life, discouragement in your life. It's going to come. It's going to come. You will have trouble. This is what Jesus' words told us. So don't be surprised by it. Secondly, those valleys are very unpredictable. Hey, what would have given to anyone to tell us about 8 months ago that Corona is going to come and affect the whole world? What would have given about 9 months ago last Christmas, if somebody would have told us about the disaster that we are about to embark on and to expect and to go through, would have given the whole world to know this, would have been prepared better, would have tried and barricade ourselves. We cannot barricade ourselves. We cannot forecast like we do with the weather, not even at our good, especially here in Lancaster, as it's so unpredictable. It's rain and rain and rain. I guess that's the only thing we can predict. And if we have a day of sun, we are surprised. Or if it is, if it's warmer than cold, then we have a warmer rain. And usually when you last need them, when it's the most inconvenient, those when those unpredictable valleys of the shadow of death appear and we seem to find ourselves in the middle of them. They come suddenly, unexpectedly, and unplanned, for that matter. And they are so irrespectful. They have no respect for anyone or no mercy on anyone for that matter. They come to the rich and the poor, to the young and the old. We've seen how the corona has affected every single person. Whether you are black or white, rich, poor, young, old, it affects all of us. Yes, it's true. In one sense or another, for many, this is stronger, manifest strongly, others not so strongly. But it will affect all of us if we're exposed to it. There is no hiding away from it, unless we respect the rules and regulations that the government has put in place for us. And the Bible is very clear that good things happen to bad people, and sometimes bad things happen to very good people. And we don't know that the answer why. So those valleys are very impartial. They don't care how good or bad you are. They don't. God will protect us. But also he allows things to happen in our lives that we don't know for whatever reason they do. In Matthew 5, verse 45, Jesus said, "It rains on the just and unjust too." Disasters and tragedies happen to all of us. Another thing, another aspect of the valleys of the shadow of death is that they are intransitory, or they are not, they're only temporary. They don't last forever. They have an end to them. And there is a light at the end of the tunnel, in other words. They are not in a permanent location. David says, even though I walk through the valley, it's through it. You're not going to stay there. You're going to walk through it to the other end. You're not going to sit in there and moan and throw a pity party, because God is going to take you on through it. But through it, he will take you on the other side. In 1 Peter, in chapter 1, verse 6, it says, there is a wonderful joy ahead. Hey, wonderful. It's hard to believe it just now, but it is. Even though the going is rough for a while down here. He admits that sometimes you are going to go through very, very tough times, very difficult circumstances, but it's only for a while because we're going through it. There are financial valleys, as I mentioned. There are relational valleys, very difficult at this time. Domestic violence rates have risen high sky in this country throughout the world. Emotional valleys, mental struggles, discouragement, all kinds of different trials. This is no accident. It happens to prove your faith. God wants to build your faith in the middle of the valleys that we go through so that we can come stronger at the other end. We love to enjoy the mountaintops, the lovely sunrises from there or the sunset. But also our faith is strengthened, and probably more than the top of the valley, of the top of the mountain, in the dark shadows of the dark valleys of life that we go through. And God is far more interested in your character than is in our comfort or convenience for that matter. It is in the dark valleys that of life, of relationships, of struggles and trials, that God shapes our characters and makes us more like him. He wants to make you like Jesus Christ. And this is the purposes for those valleys, for those trials that we go through. He wants to develop that character within us of Christ to be more like him, so that we can witness to him in a gracious way, in a loving way, in a real way. That we don't just quote scripture to people, but we can actually say, I have experienced this, I know that. I've been through it, and I know that God is faithful. He will take you out through the other end. What do you do when you go through these dark valleys. So after sharing this aspect of the valley of the shadow of death, what do we do to when we go through them, when we're in the midst of them? There are two big aspects that I would like to share with you. David says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even though I walk through this valley, you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Number one I will do is this. When you go to a valley like this, that is dark, that it seems long, that it seems lonely, that it seems difficult, that it seems no end to it, claim God's power and presence. I will fear no evil. This is what David says. And that is an exclamation mark in the original language, where it says, he shouts it out, I will fear no evil. Even though I walk, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they come for me. I've always thought Christians should wear that t-shirt with no fear written. I used to have a t-shirt like that. I don't have any more. That's what David says as a Christian who puts his faith in God. Even though I walk, I will not fear. What can that do? And listen to this word highlighted here on the screen for you. It says, I walk. I walk. I don't run through it. I don't panic in it. I don't sit in it. I walk through it. To walk means calmly, deliberately, make steps through the valley. Yes, it's dark, but I go slowly and make one step at a time. I do not sit in it. I do not reflect on it. I do not have time to throw that pity party in it. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Refuse to be discouraged. I will fear no evil. You can go around the valley, but you can't go over the valley. You can't go round it. You can only go through it, through the valley. And here he says, I will fear no evil. It implies an act of decision. I will not be afraid. Wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I will not be afraid of what will happen today. I will not be afraid of what will happen this week to me, because you are with me, O Lord. Your rod and your staff, they come for me. That's what God wants you to do. Choose. It's a deliberate act in the valley of the shadow of death, in difficult circumstances, to choose to claim his promise. I will not fear because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they come for me. How do I choose not to be discouraged? By focusing on God's power rather than on your problem. Power, not problem. You need to focus not on your circumstances, but on Christ Jesus. Not on the situation, but on the Savior. Not on your problem, but on God's power. Not on the circumstances, but on the Shepherd. Yes, indeed. In Colossians 1 verse 11 says, God will strengthen you with his own great power, so that you will not give up when trouble comes, but you will be patient. David says, I'll fear no evil, for you will be with me. You are with me every moment of my life. Even to the valley of the shadow of death, you are there with me. God not only promises us his power in the valley, he promises us his presence too. You will never go through a valley in life by yourself. God is always with you to comfort, to reassure, and ready to walk with you to the end. I will be with you. That's the name of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, even to the valley of the shadow of death. In Isaiah 43 verse 2, it says, even when you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. You are not going to drown. You're not going to be burned. God says, I am with you. There is nothing to fear when Jesus is near. At verse 4 of Psalm 23, there is a strategic change in the language. In his first part of the psalm, all of the pronouns are in the third person. David talks about God. He leads me. He guides me. He leads me beside still waters. He guides me into green pastures. He restores my soul. But now, from verse 4, the language changes. The noun becomes personal. It's the language is, you are with me. You, or rod, you, or your staff, they comfort me. It's the valleys of life that brings us face to face with God. All of a sudden, suddenly, the ultimate becomes the intimate. You see, David now not only talks about God, like he did in the first and second and third verse of Psalm 23. Now he talks to God. He now not just preaches, he not only just does theology, but now he speaks from his experience because he's been through that valley. You are with me. Your rod comfort me. Your staff brings me healing. Religion now, even for David, becomes a relationship. You see, my brothers and sisters, those of you who are not Christians and listen to this message, religion and believing in God will not help you to the valleys of the shadows of death. Even the devil believes in God and is afraid of him. But having a relationship with God as your Lord and Shepherd is that's what will help you to the valleys of the shadow of death. You and I need to make this Shepherd our Lord. We need to give him our lives and surrender fully to him so that we can say and claim this promise that I will not fear because I know your rod will comfort me, because I know that you are God who will see me through this. We cannot have the Shepherd unless we have him as our Lord. He'll become a shepherd in the dark valleys when he becomes our Lord. You see, Jesus himself walked through this valley before us. I know for sure that when he went to Golgotha, I was in the garden when he prayed, Father, if you are willing, take away this cup of suffering. Jesus had a few valleys like this in his life. The biggest one was on the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Forgive them for they don't know what they do. Valleys after valleys. The darkest valley of all was when he was in the actual tomb for 3 days and three nights. And yet he came out of it because of the grace of God, of the love of the Father for you and me. Do not avoid life's garden of Gethsemane. Enter them. Just do not enter them alone. Enter them with Christ. Enter them with the Holy Spirit. And while they be honest, tears are allowed. Tears even to transform into blood. And if you sweat blood, you won't be the first. Do what Jesus does. Open your heart. If you're in the valley just now, bring Christ into it. Bring God like you never have before in your whole life. Let me say this again. Just believing in God will not see you through the valleys. Trusting him and making him the Lord of your life will see you through. Was God willing? Was God listening to Jesus' prayer? You bet. He was. Yes and no. Just do not enter those valleys without Christ. God did not take away the cross. Yes, he didn't. God will not take away your dark valley that you go through. God did not steal the storm, but he calmed the Savior. God did not take away the cross, but he took away the fear. God did not take away the tomb, but he took away the Son out of the tomb. If you trust in Christ, you will know his power and his presence in your life. But I cannot guarantee you that you will not go through the valley of the shadow of death. You will. Whoever you are that listen to this message, God is there with you if you trust him and make him the Lord of your life. And secondly, rely on God's protection. Rely on his provision. Rely on his guidance. Because if he is the Lord and the shepherd of your life, you've got no alternative. Because as you rely on him, he will bring comfort. And David reminds himself that God's rod and staff will bring comfort to him. David was no stranger to this loneliness. And you are not either. But now you've learned that you don't have to be alone to feel lonely. Loneliness is not the absence of faces. It is the absence of intimacy. I said from the very beginning of this coronavirus, when I started preaching during the lockdown that we faced right back in March, that all my sermons during this time are about intimacy with Christ. This is the purpose of them. There's no about great missions and vision statements. There's no about big dreams and big plans on what we're going to do about the church or what we're going to do about whatever. That rug has been taken away from us. The only thing is left is our relationship with Christ. Not our religion, not our programs, not our tradition, do's and don'ts of life and everyday living. It is our relationship with Christ. That Christ takes us to a new trajectory, to a new direction in our life that we've never been. But before he takes us there, he will like our intimacy with him, our relationship with him, to be like it's never been before. So loneliness is not the absence of faith, it's the absence of intimacy. Loneliness doesn't come from being alone. It comes from feeling alone. Bags of loneliness shows up everywhere, especially now during the lockdown and the coronavirus, when people are not allowed to visit, when people are not allowed to gather for more than a certain number, and so on. But let me give you some good news. And I'm sure we can put this on the screen for you. There are two words here that I want you to take notice on. It's the word lonely, and it's the word that God wants to change in your life. By changing one letter, in that word lonely, God wants to change the N into the V. From lonely, he wants to make it lovely. Because you are not only lonely in your loneliness, in your singleness or whatever you are, but you are lovely to him. From lonely to lovely. When you know God loves, that God loves you, and that when you experience his love for you, you won't be desperate for the love of others. Have you ever gone to Tesco ever on an empty stomach? When you go shopping, try and go with a full stomach, because if you go on an empty tummy, you will spend more money. Trust me, from experience, I know it. Especially on biscuits and chocolate cakes. If you go with a full tummy, you'll spend much, much less. Now, when you are lonely, you do the same in life, pulling stuff off the shelf, not because you need it, but because you are hungry for love. Addiction, drugs, alcohol, sleeping around, whatever it is, domestic abuse or whatever it is, it's because we feel hungry for something else. And that loneliness, that intimacy, can only be found and satisfied by Jesus Christ. So what do we do? How do we get our souls satisfied and allow Christ to satisfy them? Perfect love casts out fear. This is what the scripture tells us to. In 1 John 4:18, when you go to a valley of life that it's very scary, remember that they are shadows. Shadows tend to make things bigger and bigger and bigger. In the darkness, you just see the shadows on the wall of the valley, and things seem so much, much bigger. But David says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he didn't walk through the valley of death, but the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, the shadow of death. One day, someday, a shadow is going to fall over your life. It's probably falling now. And it looks bigger than the reality. I pray that the God will strengthen you and comfort you into this. When those time comes, you need to remember three important things about the shadows. Shadows are always bigger than the reality. Always bigger. Shadows cannot hurt you. And there is no shadow without a light somewhere. Shadows are image without substance. Yeah, when you are going through a dark valley, you think the sun has stopped shining. No, it hasn't. Because that's why you've got a shadow, because you've got a light that comes from somewhere. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We'll talk about this last Sunday in church. Psalm 34, and I'm closing with it, says, the good man does not escape all troubles. Psalm 34, verse 19. He has them too, but the Lord helps in each and every one. Let me close with this. Remember this and never forget this. Whether you are a believer or not, whether you trust in God as your Lord or Savior or not, let me tell you something, and this is the reality, and I'm sorry if it hurts, and it's not a sentence that I'm going to say lightly or not say, because I want you to be dismissive. But it is the truth and it is the reality. The difference is that while believers, Christians, or non-believers go through the same valley of shadow of death, the difference for the Christians is not the absence of the shadow. It's not the absence of the valley of the shadow of death, but the presence of the shepherd right in the middle of that valley. If you trust Christ in this valley of the shadow of death and made Jesus Christ your Lord and shepherd, you will feel your soul restored. You will feel and see the light in the end of the tunnel. You will feel his comforting presence, his healing presence. And you will know his promises and reassurance of being with you always through this dark valley of the shadow of death. May the Lord be with you, bless you, keep you and protect you. And make sure of this, that even though you go to the valley of the shadow of death just now, his love will never depart from you. You are loved, you are not lonely. You are lovely. May the Lord bless you, keep you and protect you until we see each other again. May he be your shepherd and guide you. In all you do, may you glorify his name. Amen.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I won't fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God
Thank you so much for joining us this morning and for your patience as we share together into God's word, as we share in worship in our own homes or wherever we find ourselves. Thank you for taking the time to listen, to engage with God and allow Him, the Holy Spirit, to work and move in your life. And so let me give you this incredible blessing, and almost like again reassurance from God's word, but it's also a command in a sense from Apostle Paul that he writes to the church at Ephesus. It's something that I would like you to take on and probably read it at the beginning of every week and make this your strategy for dealing with the shadow of death that you deal in your life just now, and make this the whole habit, spiritual habit of dealing with fear. Finally, my brothers and sisters, friends of the house of the Lord, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, no, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of the evil comes, it probably is right now, you may be able to stand your ground. I will fear no evil. You may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled round your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all people. May the Lord bless you, protect you and keep you till we see each other again. May you continue to glorify His name. Amen.